Today we are going to be in John 15. This is a very familiar passage, and it's one that is very rich, and you can really get very deep in it. I think it's always important to understand context. John 15, what is the time frame of this? Jesus has and the disciples have just had the Last Supper, right? And just kind of where, if you remember, where Jesus kind of identified, said, one of you is going to betray me. And he says, go ahead and go do what you're going to do. That has just happened. And now they're what most people think, we know that they've probably left and they're walking to the garden, and later Jesus is going to be arrested. You read in other accounts kind of putting them all together. This is that period of transitioning from the Last Supper to the garden where Jesus, remember, is going to pray that, you know, Lord, let this cup pass from me, right? Like he's going to be in agony of knowing what he is about to face. And so he's talking about all of this stuff, teaching these disciples as he's getting to that point. And I think that's important for us to kind of understand where we are on the timeline. And you can imagine that as they're walking, they're seeing grapevines, they're seeing trees, they're seeing branches, right? And so Jesus is using that as an illustration. And it's a very, very powerful illustration, one that certainly speaks to us today. And I think is vital for us to understand. Especially, this is one of those concepts of remaining in him, of choosing to abide in Christ. It's easy when life is easy, right? The danger when life is easy is that we take it for granted, right? And so we quit growing, right? We're comfortable, right? There's also, it's very important when life gets hard, that we remain and abide. And the temptation, the danger there when life gets too difficult is that we kind of eject because we're like, okay, I guess God's not there for me. So I'm just going to have to do this on my own, right? I'm going to have to fix the problem. And the answer in both situations, whether life is going good or life is very difficult, in both of those, we need to be very intentional about remaining in him. That will keep us grounded. That will keep us, give us the strength when we need it. It will humble us when we need humbling, right? It will lift us up when we need lifted up. But the key is to always remain in him, no matter what our circumstances. So we're just going to read the first 14 verses of John chapter 15. This is Jesus, of course, talking to his disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. That word remain is abide. It's translated a few different ways, but everywhere it says remain in me, that is abide in me. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Wow. Can you imagine hearing that coming from Jesus saying, you are my friends. No greater love can you have than to lay down your life for your friends. And what happens in just a few hours to Jesus? Right? He lays down his life for his friends. So let's first just kind of go through the basics of this. And, you know, any analogy you have to be careful with, right? You know, it's not the analogy that's true, but it's the what it is trying to represent, representing who Christ is, who we are, and our relationship with him. Because if you focus too much on the analogy, the vine and the branches, you start thinking about how you garden. And that may not be a good example of our relationship with Christ, right? If we have tried gardening and we have had limited success with gardening. You know, it's not an easy thing. And as soon as you try it, you realize, man, there's a lot of work that goes into this. And you really appreciate HEB. And you're like, you know, I'm glad that I can get that lettuce in a bag, you know. Now, it also can be fun and it can be challenging. And some people, I mean, we know there's people that have a green thumb, right, that they can do that. But most people don't, right? And so thank God for farmers, right? And so whenever I think of this example, I have to make sure, you know, the good thing is, and Jesus makes this clear, is you're not the gardener. You're not the farmer. You're not the one responsible for the vine. Oh, thank you, Lord. Right? That's great. So the gardener is God. He's the gardener, not us. Man, it's so simple, but we have to start there because most of us go through life like we're the gardener. We've got to do all the things. We've got to do the pruning. We've got to do the weeding. We've got to prepare the soil. We've got to make sure it's fertilized right. We've got to make sure it's watered. We've got to do all of that. I'm not saying that we don't have a role to play. We do. But ultimately, the gardener in our relationship with God is him. And man, that takes a lot of pressure off, right? Because what does the gardener do? He's the one who prepares the soil. He's the one who plants, right? He's the one who makes sure the roots are secure. The gardener is the one who does everything that is needed so the vine grows and produces fruit. The gardener is the source of strength, if you will, right? And then you combine that where Jesus says, my Father is the gardener, and he says, I am the vine, right? So he is not only the one for doing all the preparing, he's the one who's the source of all of the strength and all the nutrients and everything that you need as the branch, right? So the branch just exists. It's not responsible for all that other stuff. So we can find rest in that, right? Say, oh, thank heavens, the gardener's doing his job, and it's God, so you know he is, right? The gardener's doing his job. The vine is taken care of. We don't have to worry about the vine. The vine is not going to wither, right? Because the vine is Christ himself. So whenever we remain in him, when we abide in Christ, we are connected to something that will not fail, that will never go weak. We are connected to the vine. So that should help us a little bit to step back and say, you know what? I don't have to do all of this on my own. I don't have to handle this on my own, no matter what circumstances you're looking at. Right? Know that God is the one who gives strength. He's the one who is the source of the nourishment that we need. But we are the branches. So we have a role to play. We are part of this. One thing that's very important to know is there's been times, I don't know if you've ever gone up and started trimming trees and things like that, which is, you know, lots of fun to do. And sometimes you just start going, right? And all of a sudden you realize, man, I have trimmed way too much. And like, it just looks like there's just one big tree trunk out there, right? And Jesus is talking about the branches, he prunes and he does things the right way. He doesn't prune things like going around high wires. You know how they make V's out of trees, right? You know what I'm talking about? That's horrific. It looks horrible, right? No, but Jesus is pruning the whole tree, right? And it's made of many different branches. So branches have two aspects to them. One, they are individual. They're on their own, right? It's connected to the vine, but a branch is on its own. But yet, it's also part of the whole. So it's part of the community. So it's important for us to remember as we abide in Christ that we have that individual relationship with him, that we have to choose to remain connected, but that we are part of a much bigger tree. We're just one branch of many. And God wants many branches, right? That's what fills out the tree. So there's that individual aspect that we have to take care of, but then we recognize, wait, we're also part of something bigger, that the tree in its fullness, whenever it's correct, it has all the branches in place, right? And again, thankfully, we're not the ones that have to do the pruning. And then what is our purpose? What's the purpose of the branch? Is to bear fruit, right? Now, what is that fruit? Well, in this passage, Jesus is pretty simple. He breaks it down pretty easily. He says, be obedient. That's how you bear fruit, is you be obedient to him, is that you follow his commands, right? And then he breaks it down even more. And what is that in its essence? It's to love others as I have loved you. Right? It's to live that out in our lives, no matter what may be going on. That the purpose of the branch is to continue to be a disciple, a follower of him, no matter what. Right? No matter what is going on around you, no matter what circumstance you're in, that you choose to follow him. You choose to be obedient to Christ. That's what the branch is there for. That's our purpose. And that shows that we are disciples. It shows that we are following him. And that actually leads to a blessing. Specifically, Jesus says, this leads to joy, my joy. He says, this leads to my joy being made complete in you so that you will have joy abundantly. See, God knows that the way for us to experience blessings, to experience joy, is found in him and him alone. Not in us fixing the problems, but in relying on him to help us in that process. And that is where we find that joy, and he desires for us to have that. Right? But that only happens when we abide in him, when we remain in him, when we stay connected. Now, There's parts of this passage that we don't necessarily like, because we love how it says, I just want you to obey me and just love others people. Right? But within that, part of loving us is that Jesus prunes. Well, I don't know if you know what pruning is. Of course you do. You've heard that term. You may never have done it. I'm not good at that. If you prune, like, you know, you're supposed to prune rose bushes, right? And things like that. And if you do it right, I do it, it kills it because I prune too much, right? But if you prune correctly, it actually makes the rose bushes that much more beautiful because you're getting rid of the stuff that is getting in the way. You're getting rid of the stuff that's taking energy and taking nutrients from the branch and keeping that branch from producing the fruit that it was designed to produce. And so what Jesus is saying is, hey, part of loving you means I'm going to have to prune some of those things that get in the way. And so what does that mean for us who are choosing to remain and abide in Christ? Is we need to be evaluating our lives on a regular basis and say, God, what are those things that I need to prune? What are those things that are getting in the way of me remaining in you, of me abiding in you? You know, what am I putting ahead of you in my life? Where do I need to reorder my life? You know, maybe I'm worrying too much about my family. Maybe I'm worrying too much about my job, and I'm allowing that to get in the way. Let God prune that. It doesn't mean it's always going to get rid of things. It's going to mean it's going to realign them where your focus is on Him first. Right? And it's vital that we allow and actually are intentional about what needs to be pruned in our life, to let God get rid of that, because that's actually going to help you as you continue to bear fruit. Now, let's talk a little bit about what does bearing fruit actually look like. You know, it looks different in different seasons. You know, you think of a tree, you think of branches, they go through different times. So bearing fruit is going to look differently depending on what's going on in your life. Right? There's those times where bearing fruit may be mainly you just growing, right? That you're just growing in the Lord, that you need to really develop your relationship with Him, learn more about Him, right? That you're spending more time with Him, right? And that's the fruit, that you're growing in Christ. Right? And the reality is all of these kind of are all happening at the same time. But there are those times in our life where we just feel that burden and that calling. You know what? I just want you to dig in to who I am. Right? That God is just saying, slow down, put other things away, quit doing stuff, and start learning and trusting me. Right? So there's those times where we're bearing fruit is actually growing. It's preparing us for something else that's coming, right? So maybe it's not actively serving like we think of it. It's actually preparing ourselves for something, right? And God works through this, and you find these different times in your life, right? And all of a sudden, there'll be an opportunity for you to move from growing and preparing to actively starting a new ministry, whatever it may be, right? But also, that bearing fruit, it reveals itself whenever we do prune, whenever we do allow God to remove those things in our life that get in the way. So there's going to be those times in your life where it's difficult. It's like, man, I'm having to break some of these habits. I'm having to get rid of some of these things that have kept me back. But that's bearing fruit because it's continuing to prepare you. There's also that time in our life where it's winter. And so bearing fruit is just clinging to the vine. It's just staying alive. Right? It's just holding on. Right? Because you recognize, you know what, I can't fix the situation. There's nothing I can do. And so the way that I'm going to bear fruit is I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going to be a disciple, even though it is winter and all of my fruit is bare right now. I don't have anything to give, but I'm clinging to the vine because I know that the spring is coming. Right? But that's actually bearing fruit. When you continue to be a disciple, continue to be obedient to God when you're in that winter of life, the only thing that you can do is just cling to Him and say, no, I am staying in the vine. That's actually can be very powerful. You know, and as I was preparing for this message, I looked up the definition of abide. And you know how there's always multiple ways a word can be used. And, you know, it's remain. Abide is to remain, to stay. I will abide by those rules, right? That's another way that abide is using. And so that we abide by, as Jesus said specifically in this, by keeping his commandments. Yes, I choose to abide by a biblical worldview, right? That is part of what this is saying, that we choose to abide in that. But then there was a word that came up and it just really hit me. Another word for abide is endure. Is to endure. And it hit me a little bit differently. Because endure doesn't necessarily have a positive aspect, because it means that you're going through something difficult, but you endure. So you make it through. But inherent in that is that we are going through difficult and challenging times. And sometimes abiding in Christ means we just endure. And through our enduring, we bear fruit by being faithful to him, by keeping his commandments. But really, all we feel like is that we're just holding on. We're just enduring. You know, there's a lot of things going on right now in all of our lives. And I believe this year is going to bring a lot of challenges. And you're going to have to choose, are you going to abide in Christ? Are you going to endure with him? And you do have to make that choice. You know, as right now, this passage, whenever I apply it in my life, you know, I apply it as my mom, and I've been back and forth from DFW, and she's in the hospital, and they're doing all kinds of things. And every time you do one thing, it causes something else, right? And we're just in that battle, and she's slowly getting better and then has a setback and all of those things. And we don't know exactly where all of this is going. And you're up there and you just want to fix it. You just want to say, okay, let's just do this so that it fixes everything. But that's not the reality. There is no do this that will fix it. And so you find yourself just saying, we just have to endure this. And we don't want to. But that's the season of life that we're in. I wish I could fix it. And the danger is that you get so frustrated because you can't fix it, you forget the vine that you're connected to. But he's the source of our strength. He is the one who will ultimately fix it, right? Because he's the vine, we're just the branches. We just endure. We just abide in him. You know, as I look at the world around us, and we have, here at Journey, we've chosen, I think wisely, but sometimes I think it's poorly as well, right? that we're going to actively engage in looking at what's going on in the world and talking about it and trying to figure out what is true and what is not. And man, I don't have good answers. And as I look at what's happening in society, we're not heading in a good direction at all. And there are those times that it feels like, man, we can't do anything to fix it. You know, I look at some of the things that are being taught in schools that are causing confusion amongst our children and causing suicide rates amongst our children to skyrocket. We're doing that. We are teaching demonic things, and I want to fix it, and there's no way to fix it, and I don't know what to do, and I want it done because I know I love our children, and I don't want them hurting, and we are teaching things that are intentionally hurting them in the name of being equitable and inclusive and all of this, and it's destroying children. We're doing things to families that is just destroying and ripping apart families. I look and so many people are looking for the answer to be found in the government. And on one side, we have a demonic ideology represented in the party. And on the other side, we are fighting back too many times from the godless right that thinks the answer is just to wield political power to push against the left. That's not the answer. Both of those lead to chaos, and that's where we are. We're in this society, and chaos is all around us. And you want to be able to fix it, and you start thinking, what can I do to fix it? And you can't. But you can endure. You can remain in the vine. And you know what? God will show you how you're going to bear fruit in that. Sometimes you just have to get to the simple step of saying, you know what? I'm going to endure. I'm going to remain faithful to Him. I am going to follow His commandments. I am going to love as He loved. And I'm going to leave the results to the gardener and to the vine. I encourage you, as we engage in what can be on an individual basis, all of you are going to go through your winters as individuals. And then I believe we're going through a winter time as a society as well. And we have to choose to abide in Him, to depend on Him. Because He is the gardener. He is the vine. We're just the branches. And our job is just to bear fruit by enduring and abiding in Him. Let's go to Him in prayer.